Thank you for tuning in to Victory Outreach Antioch. On behalf of Pastor Adam and Sister Gina, we pray that you will be challenged and inspired by our podcast messages.
The Bible says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. What was given to them? What was it? All together? The grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. How many gave themselves to the Lord a moment ago? Amen. And then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus, as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, somebody say everything, as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, in our love for you, see that you, in this act of grace, also excel. What act of grace? Somebody say giving. They were good in faith. They were good in service. They were good in all kinds of giftings. But Paul encouraged them to excel in giving. Somebody say, giving what? Money. Somebody say, money. What does the Bible declare here? What is it saying when it says the grace of God was upon the Macedonian churches? The church of Corinth, the church of Thessalonica, the church of Philippi. All of these churches in Asia had a certain grace upon them. What was the grace? Well, generally speaking, they had the grace of salvation. They had the grace of gifts. They had the grace of knowledge. They had the grace of God's saving power, right? There was all these different graces upon their life. Like you and I today, we have the grace of salvation to reconnect with God. Some of us have been distant from God. We're distant from God. God stopped the whole service to bring you closer to him. Oh, that's a good place to clap. Come on, somebody. He stopped the whole service for you. He stopped the whole service for me at home. Come on, somebody. That's why it's important to pray at home. Someone said, deal with your sin in private so God don't got to expose it in public. Tell your neighbor, Lord, have mercy. Write that down. The things informed here is the grace of God bestowed upon the churches. Regeneration, justification, adoption. We became his spiritual children. When we give our lives to Christ, we become the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. The grace of forgiveness of our sin. How many thank God for that? But right here, when he says the grace of God is upon the Macedonian churches, what he is saying specifically, hear it now, is that they had a supernatural grace that God gave them to be liberal in their giving toward helping the good of others. Again, there was a spirit of grace, of liberality that came from God upon the people that caused them to want to participate in giving their finances, even though they were broke, even though they struggled, even though they had certain challenges with their finances. There was a grace upon them to give toward the work of the ministry. Why? To help other people. To help other people. There was an anointing, if you will. It was the Spirit of God upon the churches that caused the people to walk in favor, and it motivated them and it engaged them. And how they saw it through this grace given to them is that I want to give toward helping other people. You know, that's what our tithes and our offerings do. Our tithes, our offerings, our sacrificial pledges at times, they are to help hurting people. This grace was upon the Macedonian churches. That's my prayer here this morning. That Victory Outreach Antioch would have that same grace. That there would be a supernatural grace that would motivate and cause me and you to want to participate in giving toward helping other people. You know, in the past, we gave toward helping evil. Don't look at me like that. I said in the past, we help give toward evil. Huh? Some of you bought drugs, did drugs, drank alcohol. Some of you, you know, you paid, come on, $20 coverage at the nightclub, bless God. Come on, somebody. Huh? You paid for the limo just so you can get drunk and throw up in it. Come on, somebody. I said in the, come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. Party wasn't all that all the time. Can I keep it real? Yeah. I almost got in trouble again. God, keep me in control right now. Are you hearing me? We participated in doing evil. And it wasn't no big deal in the days. These folks had an anointing upon them that wanted to participate in helping benefit others, each other in the body of Christ, and even reaching hurting people. They were generous to those who were in distress. This was the grace of God that Paul is talking about here in the book of Corinthians. This is the grace of God that came upon the people where they freely gave bountifully toward the work of the ministry, where their actions were to help hurting people. Now I'm just going to share just a few moments. This is important this morning. I was reminded yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that money is spiritual. Money is spiritual. Money is the only thing that God compared to himself in the whole word of God. Money. Money's spiritual. If we can't be faithful and a good steward with our money, then God can't entrust us with the kingdom of heaven. Money's spiritual. It's a direct connection of where me and you are with the Lord in our relationship with him. Money's spiritual. Money is an act of worship to God. God says, how do you rob me? In tithes and what? You know that tithing ain't really giving? I'm going to mess y'all up on this one. Tithing ain't giving, technically. I mean, it's giving, but really, technically speaking, it's only giving God what rightfully belongs to him. See, if we don't tithe, then we're robbing God, right? The Bible says, Malachi chapter 3. So where's real giving at, Demas? In the offerings. In the offering. In the offering. I got to remind my wife, we need to increase our tithe. Come on, somebody. Because I want to give above 10%. The real blessing is not the tithe, but the offering. I'm not going to drop because I still need it. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Quick on your feet. That's a good usher. Come on, somebody. The offering. Stay with me. The Bible says managers, turn to your brother and say, your neighbor, you're a manager. See, a steward is someone who manages their life as unto God. See, you and I are created by him to live for him, to manage our life for him. Everything we own belongs to him. And he's calling us to be a good steward of it. That's the challenge of the Christian. Managers are required to be trustworthy. See, God gives to us so we can be a blessing to others, especially those in need. See, there are three types of people this morning. There are the haves, the have-nots, and there are the have-not-paid-for-what-you-haves. Come on, somebody. You be still in hallelujah. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, he told the people, be careful to guard yourselves from every kind of greed. What did he say? He says, life is not about having a lot of material possessions. That's not what life's about. See, life's about pleasing God. Life's about being a good steward of what God gave to us so that we could be a blessing to others. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Check out this scripture found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Greatness, power, splendor, glory, and majesty are yours, Lord. Because everything in heaven, if we stop right there, it'd be like, yeah, man, that's heaven. God's talking about heaven, but don't stop there. It says, everything in heaven and on earth is yours. The kingdom is yours, Lord, and you are honored as head of all things. See, when we know Christ and we understand that. Psalms 50, verse 10 says, every creature in the forest, even the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. God owns everything, people. Me and you, we're simply managers. We're simply managers. We need to understand three things this morning. Number one, God wants to bless you. God wants the best for you and I. He wants to bless our life. In the natural mind, in the natural eye, right away we say, God wants to bless you. Man, you think new car. Come on. New house. Come on. New wife. Don't say that. Amen, somebody. New husband. Bless God. Come on. God wants to bless you. Right away we think of, oh, God, what's he going to give me? Right? What's he going to give me now? God wants to bless us. Let me show you something. What more can I ask for from being a husband for 21 years on the 20th? Come on, somebody. 21 years this month. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all could clap. Come on. I put in work. I put in work for 21 years. By the grace of God. 21 years of marriage. Lord have mercy. Thank God for my wife. Couldn't have did it without her. Bless God. What more can I ask for? 4 children. They're all saved now. Come on, you can clap. Bless God. Yours are on their way if they're not yet. Come on, somebody. It ain't over yet. What more can I ask for? God came back right now. I'm good. I'm all right. I don't need a fancy house. I don't need a fancy car. I don't need jewelry. I don't need clothes. I don't need all that stuff. That's just stuff. The best feeling in the entire world is what, church? What is it? Come on, Seth. What is it, Joe? Be right with God. It's the best feeling in the entire world. It really is. No hiding, no secret sin, no guilty conscience. Just right with God. You know the scripture, I have plans to prosper you, give you hope in the future. Never think that God's plans are to harm you. They're not to harm us. Huh? This world is evil. The devil is real. The circumstances happen, but God is in control. His plans are not to harm us. God's not killing you. God is building you. Huh? Even what seems evil, God is turning it around for the good. It's true. He says, I work all things together for the good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. You mean what I'm going through is good? Ain't what I'm going through ain't no good? Come on, somebody. What I'm going through is good. Come on, don't be quoting me that scripture. You're bitter, not better. Get rid of that bitterness so you can get better. Huh? Attitude determines your altitude. Christianity's perspective. It's how we see it. We got to learn to see it through the eyes of Christ. God is trying to build you. God wants to bless you. He wants us to believe so that we can overcome. When God speaks and we surrender and we serve him wholeheartedly, our faith gets stronger. We're able to move mountains. God wants to bless us when we cling to him and his promises. Every path of the Lord is mine, is one of mercy and truth for those who cling to his promise and written instructions. That word cling means to hold on tight. Huh? The enemy will move you and you will feel weird and you'll feel like giving up, but cling to God's word. Cling to God's promise. Don't let go of the promise of God. Because God is not a liar. He will come through and do what he said he'll do. The problem most of the time is we rebel, right? We rebel against God. We don't follow his instructions. Psalm 78, verse 56 says, they tested God most high and rebelled against him. They did not obey his written instructions. They chose to disobey him. So what happens when we do that? We miss the blessing. We miss the blessing. Let the grace of God be upon the Antioch church this morning. Let us begin to realize it's through giving that we receive. It's through believing that we receive the promise. It's through clinging to God. It's holding on to him. It's staying connected with Jesus. Because if we're not careful, greed will destroy us. Greed will destroy us. Greed will tear us apart. We live for what's on earth. We live for what we can get, what we have. Our only hope is as far as we can see because we don't see with eyes of faith. So we only live by what's going on in our life, by the relationships in our life. But we don't look at with eyes of faith. We don't look through the word of God. We just have an earthly mentality instead of a heavenly perspective. Greed will blind you. Greed will destroy us. Listen, my friend, there's more to life than planet Earth. Amen. There's more to life than planet Earth. Learn to live for heaven. Learn to live for heaven. Because we're just passing through. Teach us to number each of our days so that we may grow in wisdom. See, we need to pray for wisdom so we don't allow the world to change our perspective, to make us think like them rather than like God. We are living in the last days. Let us protect, listen, our integrity, our dignity, and our truthfulness, and our godly character. What's the devil's plan? To desensitize us, to cause us to compromise godly character, to say that integrity is not important, to say that holiness is not important. It's okay, I could sin and God could forgive me. Huh? It's so say I could live in adultery, I could live in fornication, I can get high, I could drink, I could go to the bar, I could do whatever I want. It's okay, God understands. The world is trying to desensitize you and I as believers. So we accept sin and we accept lifestyle. And we say it's okay because the world says it's okay. Because the government says it's okay. Because politicians says it's okay. We as believers, we go agreeing with the world. When God has set the standard. And God says it's not okay. It's abomination to my name. Huh? He that lives in sin, adultery, fornication, and all kinds of sexual immorality. He that lives that will not see the kingdom of God. Come on, say, Lord, have mercy in this place. God sets the bar for how you and I should live our lives as believers. That's why it's important to stay connected. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to the believers that are moving forward and staying strong. Stay connected to your spouse if you're married. Stay connected. At least we become irritable. At least we become critical. At least we go on an affair with God. Start cheating on God. We have to fight to stay right. It takes a real man and a real woman, a real gang girl and a real gang warrior. Come on, somebody, to stand up for God. How many can say amen to that? Stop storing up your treasure for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy it and thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up your treasure for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Listen to this greed illustration. Money cannot bring satisfaction. It is like the man who said, last month my auntie died and left me $25,000. Come on, somebody. Bless God. Then he goes on to say, last week my brother died and left me $38,000. Then he said, I'm so depressed. His good friend said, why are you depressed? He said, because this week nobody died. He must have been from Oakland. Come on, somebody. Is that cold or what? Somebody say, that's greedy. Greed will make you care more about money than people. Huh? Greed will make you care more about money than people, more about what we have on earth than what we have in heaven. Bible says, what good will it do for people to win the whole world and lose their lives? What will a person give in exchange for his life? Some folks selling their soul to the devil just for money. Because they think it's going to be a party in hell. Huh? Gain the whole world. Have all the pleasure of sin and messing around. Got money, got girls, got this, got that. Sell their whole soul and lose their life in the end. Seb says in one of his songs, I lose my life every day only to get it back. Greed. Greed. But people who want to get rich keep falling into temptation. They are trapped by many stupid and harmful desires which drown them in destruction and ruin. Certainly, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people who have set their hearts on getting rich have wandered away from Christian faith and have caused themselves a lot of grief. People will leave God just for money. Watch out when your boss keeps asking you to work on Sunday. Huh? Watch out when your employer keeps demanding you work on church days. Come on, somebody. The enemy tries to come in. I'll give you double time, time and a half. Come on, somebody. God understands. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. If I were you, I'd tell him, look, dude, because I like you, and I like you're a good boss, I'll give you once a year, I'll give you a Sunday. Come on, bless God. How's that? Let's make a deal. I can't be, you know, I can't be missing church. You want an honest employee? You want an employee that works hard and won't steal from you? You best keep me in church. Come on, somebody. Come on, Manny. Because I know where you live. Come on, somebody. If they only knew. Symptoms of greed. Missing church for work. Stop paying our tithes. We're inconsistent. Negative attitude. When it comes to giving. Because greed, because money, because fear, because sin gets in the way of our honest heart before God. We only hurt ourselves when we hold back on God. We only hurt ourselves when we don't invest in the kingdom of heaven. Don't rob God the opportunity to bless you by holding the tithe. Give the tithe in faith and obedience. Give offerings and watch God bless you. Watch God come through. Like a famous preacher once said, don't forget who made you rich. Demas said that. Come on, somebody. Don't forget. It was God. I'm going to close with this. Y'all still with me? Amen. You learning something? Amen. Money is spiritual. Money is spiritual. Giving to God is a privilege. Deuteronomy says, this is what you must do whenever there are poor Israelites in one of your cities, in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Be generous to the poor people and freely lend them as much as they need. Never be hard-hearted and tight-fisted with them. Are you hearing this stuff? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Listen, this is a great scripture. I love this scripture. Hold on to this scripture. Give and you will receive a large quantity, pressed together, shaken down, running over, will be put into your pocket. The standards you use for others will be applied to you. Huh? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give whatever you have decided. You shouldn't be sorry that you gave or feel forced to give. Come on, somebody. Since God loves a cheerful giver. I love these next couple of illustrations. Check this out. There are three kinds of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of the flint, you have to hammer it. Then you get the chips and sparks. To get water out of a sponge, you have to squeeze it. The more you squeeze, the more you get. But the honeycomb simply overflows with sweetness. Come on, somebody. What are we today? A flint? God has to hammer a little offering out of you? To pound your head? Haven't you learned to tithe yet? Pow! What's the matter with you? Come on, somebody. What are we? A flint? Are we a sponge? People got to squeeze? Oh, you know. Are we a honeycomb? We're mature. We know what it is to give to God. See, when a person understands what God has done for them, you don't have to prime them to give. And you don't have to, you don't need 10 collections. Come on, somebody. They understand that He is a great God. In fact, at offering time, we ought to jump up to our feet and applaud. That we are here to give. And that we have been blessed to have strength enough to work that we might be able to give, we ought to just applaud the privilege of giving. See, we should be generous givers, church, not tight-fisted or hard. If we are generous to God and others, then God will be generous to us. You know, right now, me and my wife, or my wife, bless God, she's the one working. Ooh-wee, Lord have mercy. I work, right? My daughter says, Dad, do you work? I'm like, yeah, I work. I'm the pastor. Amen. But I want to work harder. Come on, somebody. I want to work harder. But we give everything we possibly can for Adam to stay at UTC for the year. And some of you are major blessing to him. You guys are giving him, you know, offerings and what have you. Why? Because money can't buy what God's doing in his life. Can't buy it. It's just like we just give to the kingdom. Give to the church. Give to people. Give. Just give. I don't know about you, but I want to be a giver, not a taker. I want to be a honeycomb, not a tight fist. I want to have faith to give and be a blessing to others. We should plan to give with a pure motive. God loves when we're willing to give because we're grateful. And let me say this. Giving should be taken serious. Serious. I love this illustration. It says a preacher out in the country was testing one of his rich members. John was a farmer. And the preacher asked him, John, if you had 100 pigs, would you give 25 to God? Yes, pastor, I would. John, if you had 20 pigs, would you give 5 to God? Absolutely, pastor. John, if you had 2 pigs, would you give 1 to God? Preacher, cut that out. You know I only have 2 pigs. I was cracking up at home. I was like, oh, God. It's hilarious. Giving should be serious. Like, you know, come on. He's like, don't, you know, this is what it is. As long as we're being hypothetical, we'll be generous. But once God asks us how we're going to do with what we have in our hands, we have a problem. Come on, somebody. See, the Bible says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with a lot. Whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with a lot. That's how come you ain't hit the lotto. Come on, somebody. Now, that's probably not why, but anyway. But we're not even faithful with the little God gives us, and we want more. Is that a trip? God, I know I don't tithe. I don't give offerings. I hardly give, God, but could you bless me? Yeah, be faithful in the little. You know? My wife has a famous testimony that she would tithe on every quarter, every dime, every cent she got in the woman's home. Probably learned it from Priscilla. Come on, somebody. Faithful in the little. So when she got out the home, God used me to bless her with more. Come on, somebody. I remember when we first started telling each other we liked her, I gave her my debit card. You know I was trying to get married. Come on, Daniel. Come on, Manny. I said, girl, take the debit card. Come on, somebody. You know a man's in love, he give up the debit card, right, Ed? Whew. 21 years. We should learn to be honest with the little we have so God can trust us with more. So how many have jobs this morning? How many have some sort of income, right? How many can use increase? Come on now, you better put up that hand. God wants to give you more. Or you need a job. I need another job. Pastor, I need more than that. If I went to work again while I pass, I'd probably, I don't know how long I'd last. Amen. See, we have jobs. We need jobs. We need more. But the problem is, we say we love Jesus, but we're not faithful tithers. Can I be honest? We don't tithe. We don't give. We don't give. And if we're connected to God and we believe His word and we're standing on His promises, then we'll learn how to be givers. Lord, let the grace of God be upon the Antioch church. Not for me, not for, you know, but for others, for you, your children, your family, the world. That others can come to the house of the Lord and be blessed like you and I. That there will be a light that shines from the roof of this building. A Holy Ghost light that when they drive down West 10th Street, the power of God can draw them in. I don't know why I came in this building. I don't know why I was drawn to this building. But I thank God that I did. My life has changed. That's why we give. It's to build the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for your patience this morning. Haggai says, is it time for you to live in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Carefully consider your ways. You planted a lot, but you harvest little. You eat, but you never are full. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You wear clothing, but you never have enough to keep you warm. You spend money as fast as you earn it. This is what the Lord of the armies of the Lord says. Carefully consider your ways. People that are immature and disconnected from God have a problem with giving. We want to raise up a church that's close to God, that understands the principles of God, and that gives to God. So that we can finish His house, complete the stage, build the wall, light fixtures, professional stage lighting, classrooms complete, carpet repaired, 200 brand new chairs, so we can say, God, bring in the harvest. God, bring in the harvest. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in. Why? Because we believe in giving God our absolute best. Absolute best. He deserves the best. Why? He gave the best to you and I, right? One more illustration, I'm going to close. Y'all with me? A country preacher once delivered a sermon on giving. He said, now church, you know we've got to go somewhere, and so we need the church to walk. And the deacons, Mike and Mondo, come on somebody, lined up in the front row. And they said, Rev, let the church walk. Let the church walk. The preacher said, we've got to start moving. And the deacon said, let it walk. The preacher said that he saw that he had the deacons' attention and all their amens. And then after we walk for a little while, church, we've got to run. The deacon said, yeah, let the church run. Come on, Royal. He went on preaching, getting the congregation and the deacons more excited. As he continued, he said, then after we've run a little while, it's time for the church to fly. Then the preacher said, well, now you know it's going to take money for the church to fly. The deacon said, let the church crawl, Rev. Let the church crawl. Come on, somebody. Wow. on, somebody. May not my front row be like that. Amen. We got to give. People don't like to give. Bible says no one can serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second. Or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth. You hear that comparison? God and wealth. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, certainly the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people who have set their hearts on getting rich have wandered away from the Christian faith and have caused themselves a lot of grief. I want you to know the way to be blessed is to give your way out of it. Give your way out of it. We can't serve God and job. Can't love God and love job. You got to hate one or the other. Amen, somebody. We can't serve both. We can only be devoted to one. Listen to me, my friend. Your job is not your channel of blessing. Amen. Your job is not your source of blessing. Amen. God is your channel of blessing. God provides. He gave you that job, he'll give you another one. Amen. God is the blesser. It's not the job. It's God. When we love money, our work more than God, it shows in our church attendance, in our tithing records, shows where we're at spiritually. It shows where we trust. It also shows in sinful acts that we allow ourselves to get trapped in. Eventually, this is what leads to backsliding. See, people don't backslide overnight. It's a process. Gradually but surely we compromise. We leave the door open of sin. Sin comes in, corrupts our soul, hardens our heart. One day we just walk away. The writer Ecclesiastes says, whoever loves money will never be satisfied with money. Whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with income, with more income. Even this is pointless. See, God wants to bless you. Greed wants to destroy you. Please understand, giving to God is a privilege and it's the way to become blessed. Don't let the devil lie to you. The church just wants my money. The church just wants my money. The pastor wants my money. The church wants my money. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. The church don't want your money. God wants your life. God wants your life. He wants your entire life. And if you give it to him, you'll gain it in the end. You put him first, he's going to bless you right back every time. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. You've been so patient, amen. I really appreciate it. Give the Lord a good hand as you stand, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on.